The following is a class on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, Text 23, given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on December 9, 1997, in Heidelberg, Germany.
Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha
Evam Shipam Dhanushi Sanditi Tam Mutsarcha
Evam Shipam Dhanushi Sanditi Mutsarcha
Banam Sabajram Ivatadridayam Bhaveda
Banam Sabajram Ivatadridayam Bhaveda
Sosrigvamam Dashamukhaya Patadvamana
Sosrigvamam Dashamukhaya Patadvamana
Daheti Jalpati Jane Sukriti Variktaha
Daheti Jalpati Jane Sukriti Variktaha
After thus rebuking Ravan, Lord Ramchandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed at Ravana, and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, "Alas, alas, what has happened? What has happened?" As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets, results of his pious activities are exhausted. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. In Bhagavad Gita it is said, Shine punye martya lokam vishanti. When the results of their pious activities are exhausted, those who have enjoyed in the heavenly planets fall again to the earth. The fruit of activities of this material world are such that whether one acts piously or impiously, one must remain within the material world according to different conditions. For neither pious nor impious actions can relieve one from Maya's clutches of repeated birth. Somehow or other, Ravana was raised to an exalted position as the king of a great kingdom with all material opulences. But because of his sinful act of kidnapping Mother Sita, all the results of his pious activities were destroyed. If one offends an exalted personality, especially the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one certainly becomes most abominable. Bereft of the results of pious activities, one must fall down like Ravana and other demons. It is therefore advised that one transcend both pious and impious activities and remain in the pure state of freedom from all designations. Sarvo bhadi vinirvuktam tatparatvena. When one is fixed in devotional service, he is above the material platform. On the material platform, there are higher and lower positions. But when one is above the material platform, he is always fixed in a spiritual position. Sahunam samati yaitan brahmapuyaya kalpate. Ravana, or those like him, may be very powerful and opulent in this material world, but theirs is not a secure position, because, after all, they are bound by the results of their karma. Karmana daiva netrena. We should not forget that we are completely dependent on the laws of nature. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasham. Ahamkara vimutatma karataham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by nature. One should not be proud of one's exalted position and act like Ravana, thinking oneself independent of material nature's laws. We are reading from the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Srila Shukadeva Goswami is describing pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. We find in this beautiful story, which is so exhaustively explained in Sri Valmiki Muni's Ramayana, the wonderful descent and activities of Lord Sri Ramchandra. It is explained in Gita, Hari Pranai Sadhana Vinashaya Tulsutam Dharma Samstat Anarthaya Samprabhami Fugetu. That in order to protect his devotees and punish the miscreants and reestablish the principles of religion, the Lord descends again and again within this material world. At this particular time, the great demon Ravana, along with his brother Kumbhakarna and his son Indrajit, they were creating terrible, terrible disturbance within this universe. They were so greedy. Ravana was the very, very personification of lust. He just wanted to enjoy everything for his own personal sense gratification. He could not tolerate anyone enjoying anything. He wanted to be the only enjoyer. And therefore, he performed very great tapasya to Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. And he became so powerful, he became such a mystic, that he was able to practically conquer the whole world. And even the heavenly abodes were trembling in fear of Ravana. He was so strong that he was able to even conquer Indra, the king of heaven. Srila Prabhupada explains that Ravana, he had no pious activities at all, but he was such a fantastically exalted materialist that he decided, if I cannot get to heavenly planets by my pious activities, I will build a staircase to heavenly planets, and I will achieve it through this process. In the same way, materialistic people, by their own material expertise, they are trying to somehow or other achieve higher and higher states of happiness. However, as we learn from the example of Ravana, they are never successful. Although for some time they may appear successful. By our material calculations, we cannot overcome the miseries of this world. We cannot overcome even the anarthas or the unwanted things within our own hearts. Everyone is at all times completely depending on the mercy. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetanam ekobhavanam yogaditadikam. There is one Supreme Being, and there are innumerable parts and parcels who are also spiritual beings. But those innumerable parts and parcels are always depending on the mercy of that one Supreme Lord Krishna. We are completely dependent in every phase of life. In the spiritual world and in the material world, every living entity is completely depending on Krishna for everything at all times. Prakrite kriyamanani gunani karmani sarvasha ahankara vimuktatma karta aham iti manyate. But the bewildered spirit soul thinks he is or she is independent of Krishna, thinks that we are the doers of our activities, when actually all our activities are being carried out by nature. We cannot open our eyes with the help of a demigod in charge of the opening of the eyes. We cannot breathe without the demigod Vayu supplying air. We cannot see without Surya, the demigod, providing light. In fact, it is said there is a demigod in charge of every facility to move your body. You cannot open your fingers without the help of the Lord. And they are all getting their powers from Krishna. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacha etunani dokonte jagati. Krishna says this entire material nature with all of its agents is working under my direction. Krishna is Sarveshwareshwara. He is the controller of all controllers. And the great illusion that keeps us within this material world, bound by karma, birth after birth after birth, is we are under the illusion that we are the controller, that we are the doer, and that we are the enjoyer. This is called Maya. Srila Prabhupada defines Maya as that which is not. We think we're the body, but we are not this body. We think that we are the enjoyers, but we are not the enjoyers. We think that we are the doers and controllers of our activities, but we are not. Krishna is the source of everything. Parasya Shaktir Vibhataiva Shruyate. Through Krishna's various energies, everything within material and spiritual existence is being carried out. We are all simply Krishna's servants. There is a beautiful example that Srila Prabhupada gives, that in this material creation, everyone is like a puppet. In Maya, she has strings, and these strings are the three modes of material nature. She's just moving us about, and we think we're moving ourselves. The puppet is an illusion if he thinks, I am moving my arm. Actually, the puppeteer is moving the arm. Similarly, it is described, just like a bull with a ring in his nose, that bull is thinking, I am doing as I like. But actually, he's just being dragged according to the master with the rope. You pull the bull to the right, and the bull thinks, I am going to the right by my sweet independent will. And you pull the bull to the left, and he's thinking, now I decide. Then you pull him around and around and around and up and down and throw him to the ground. He thinks, now I am going to the ground. I am the controller. So we are all in this condition. We are simply being controlled by the modes of material nature. And material nature is being controlled by Krishna. Now Krishna, by his great mercy, he gives us all free will. And in the realm of that free will, he allows us to exercise so many of our desires, and he gives us so many facilities. However, he also eventually gives us the reaction. May it be good or bad. So Ravana was such a person. He performed saj tapasya to Lord Shankar. Lord Shiva was so pleased with him. He gave him so many powers. But then Ravana wanted to utilize those powers against the Lord and the people in general. He had such mystic powers. It is described here that one, through pious activities or impious activities, is always getting either good or bad reactions. But Srila Prabhupada describes that for a devotee, the difference between pious activity and impious activity is the difference between wet stool and dry stool. Do you all know what is stool? Now, for a hog, there's a big difference between wet stool and dry stool. for a hog, dry stool is very unpalatable and tasteless. But wet stool is very sumptuous, delicious, full of juice. So the hog, when he gets somehow or other, by good fortune, he gets wet stool, he enjoys like anything just sucking those delicious juices from the stool. But when he gets dry stool, he's very sad. It's all I know. It's very hard to chew no flavor like that. Now, the hog discriminates. However, a human being, for him, whether it's wet or dry, it is all stool. That means it is all abominable. So similarly, for a materialistic people, the results of pious activities is material happiness and prosperity. And the results of sinful activities is suffering and anxiety. But for a devotee, it makes no difference because it's all abominable, it's all material, it's all temporary. He doesn't care for either one. It is all like stool. Back to the Chandra, in the previous verse, even compared Ravana to stool. Do you want to hear the chastisement of Ram to Ravana just before he killed him? Lord Ramchandra said to Ravana, "You are the most abominable of the man-eaters. Indeed, you are like their stool. You resemble a dog, for a dog steals edibles from the kitchen in the absence of the householder. In my absence, you kidnap my wife, Sita Devi. Therefore, as Yamaraj punishes sinful men, I shall also punish you. You are most abominable, sinful, and shameless. Today, therefore, I, whose attempt never fails, should punish you." Supreme Personality of Godhead is ultimately the giver of the reactions of all of our activities through the powers of his various energies. But all of those energies are personally being conducted ultimately by him. So here we see that Ravana became so powerful in the materialistic sense. Actually, it is explained that when Hanuman secretly entered into Sri Lanka just to check out where is Sita and what is the military powers of Ravana, he came at night and he saw Ravana sleeping in a beautiful, beautiful house made of gold and crystal, so many jewels. No one had opulence like Ravana. He was able to make his whole city made out of gold, pure gold. And when Hanumanji saw Ravana laying there, he saw such an incredible personality. He thought, if only this person was a devotee, he's actually full of so many glorious attributes. He had so much power. He had so much influence over others. He had incredible depths of Vedic knowledge. He was really and truly a great, great person. He was a great king. But he had one problem. He was envious of the wanted to enjoy separate from the Lord. Therefore, all of his good qualities just made him a worse demon. The powers that Krishna gives us, if they are used in his service, they can be for the greatest benefit for everyone. But those same powers, when they are used for our own selfish desires, are the greatest, greatest problems for ourselves and others. So Ravana was such a person. He was literally conquering planets. He was conquering kingdoms. He was conquering everyone. No one could stand before him. Therefore, the demigods and the great rishis and sages pray to the Supreme Lord to appear. And Lord Ramchandra especially appeared just to kill this Ravana. So Ravana, he was enjoying his capital in Sri Lanka. He had so many queens and so many beautiful heavenly damsels that he had captured, and they were just completely subjected to his desires. And he had so much wealth and so big of a population in his kingdom, all surrendered to him. What else could a person want? Would you not think he would be satisfied? Today a man is satisfied just having a little apartment that he can pay for. To some extent he thinks, oh, I have accomplished much. Not satisfied, but he's thinking something great about himself. Ravana owned the entire kingdom made out of gold. But yet, he was never satisfied. He was always looking for something else to enjoy. Because the soul is looking eternally for ecstatic bliss. And we'll never be satisfied until we experience the ecstatic bliss of reuniting with Krishna through devotion. However much we try to accumulate and enjoy in this world, our hearts will always be frustrated. So the sister of Ravana, Suparnaka, she saw the beauty of Ram and fell in love with him. She wanted to enjoy Ram for her own sense gratification. Hare Krishna. And she saw that Sita was an impediment for her enjoyment of Ram, because Ram was attached to Sita. Therefore, Suparnaka attacked to try to kill Sita so that she could have Ram for her own sense gratification. And she, like Ravana, was very, very powerful. She was so powerful. She could change her form, if she so desired, from an ugly, terrible, demoness, Rakshasi, to a beautiful lady. Even great, great warriors and kings, they were petrified with fear of this Mataji, Suparnaka. She was a lady. For those who are interested in woman's liberation, Suparnaka was a great hero. She could devour thousands of men at a time with her mouth. Just eat them, kill them, beat them, destroy them. She had such powers. She was so infatuated by the beauty of Ram. She wanted to enjoy it. But Sita was an impediment, so she attacked Sita to kill her. But then Lakshman, always being there to be the humble servant of Lord Ram, cut off Suparnaka's nose with his arrow. And although Suparnaka was such an ugly, terrible Rakshasi, still she thought she was very beautiful. And cutting off nose for a lady is very embarrassing, because every woman is naturally very proud and attached to their beauty, even if they don't have any. So they think they have, somehow or other, by their imagination. So she was so angry that she went to Dushana, her brother, who had tens and thousands of soldiers with him. And they were so angry, they attacked Ram. And Ram said, when he saw these tens and thousands of Rakshasa army coming to get revenge, he said, Lakshman, you stay here with Sita, I will fight them. And he just took his bow and arrow and he annihilated all the tens and thousands of Rakshasa soldiers. And then he killed Dushana and his brother.
Karnika saw this, and she was even more angry, because she saw that Ram was even more wonderful than she even expected, so she wanted him even more to be her consort. So she went back to Sri Lanka, and she was just furious. She wanted revenge, so she told Ravana. When Ravana saw her without a nose, bleeding, he couldn't believe, how could anyone dare to do this to my sister? Impossible. Don't they know I am Ravana? She is my sister. I cannot allow anyone to get away with this. Who has done this to you? Where is he? I will destroy him. So Karnika said, it is Ram. And then she began to explain how powerful is this Ram, how he killed Ravana's brother, Dushana, as well, and how he annihilated an entire army of Rakshasas within a matter of minutes, single-handedly, without even an army or a chariot.
But, you see, materialistic people, they understand how other materialistic people are thinking because they know how they're thinking. Suparnika, being a female, understood how much she was lusty for Ram. And therefore, she knew full well how much Ravana would be lusty for Sita. And therefore she began to describe the beautiful, beautiful, charming qualities of Sita Devi. That there is no woman in all the worlds that can compare to the beauty of Sita. Her lotus-like eyes, her soft and fair complexion, her shapely form, beautiful hair, wonderful disposition. She was describing in very great detail the various limbs of Sita's most elegant body. And she said to Ravana that no one in the world is fit to enjoy this Sita except you. Such beauty can only be suitable for you to enjoy. How you will enjoy. But there's a problem. She's attached to this Ram. But if you can get Sita from Ram, how much you will be in bliss. So Ravana, just upon hearing the description of Sita's beauty, he became completely infatuated with lust. I must have her. So he started making all kinds of grand plans to get Sita. Approached one great, great yogi who was a Rakshasa yogi. His name was Maricha. And he told Maricha that you should disguise yourself as a beautiful golden deer, because Sita and Ram were living in the forest. They were banished by Kaikeyi's wrath. And when Ram and Lakshman are away chasing after you, I will kidnap Sita. Maricha told Ravana, you are crazy. I had already met Ram before. Previously, I used to be harassing the sages, along with my associate Subhabhu. When they were performing yajnas, we used to pass stool and urine and throw bones and blood all over their yajnas just to spoil them. We used to eat sages. But then Vishwamitra Muni brought this Ram to the yajna. And as we were attacking, he shot one arrow at my friend Subhabhu, who was a powerful Rakshasa. He was immediately killed. And then he shot an arrow at me. And that arrow threw me 80 miles away into the ocean.
And he said, please, Rama is the Supreme Personality of God. He is all-powerful. You, me, no one can compare to him in strength. We should not disturb him. He said, in fact, just from what I had to endure by being punished by Ram, day and night, I had just seen that terrible form of Ram coming to punish me. I dream about it at night. I see the vision of Ram all day. He is like time personified. No one can challenge him. He said, look at me now. I'm a great Rakshasa king, but I'm living as a hermit, just doing tapasya, just somehow or other to try to forget this fear of Ram, just hiding so he will not find me. He said, please, give up this foolish idea of enjoying Sita. You have your own capital, you have your wife, Mandodari, you have so many wonderful opulences, just enjoy them, but stay away from Ram. But when a person becomes too much addicted to material enjoyment, loses intelligence. Krishna says in Gita, Dhyayato Vishayam Pungsam Sampat Sanjayate Kama, that one contemplates the objects of the senses, one develops attachment to them. From such attachment, lust awakens within the heart. And when lust is unfulfilled, we become angry. And when we become angry, our memory is distorted. And through the distortion of the memory, our intelligence is lost. And then we fall down to the most miserable conditions of life. So Ravana could not hear good advice. Why? Because he was too proud. This is one of the greatest dangers of false pride. Queen Kunti said, Akinchana Gocharam, it's better to have nothing, to be proud of nothing. Because if you have high birth, if you have physical strength and beauty and education, you become so proud of these things. You cannot even hear good advice, even from your well-wishers. You think you can do anything. Pride cometh before the fall. Wherever there's a fall down, we can understand that preceding this must be false pride. Because a humble person never falls. A humble person is always seeking the help of God and always seeking the help of the servants of God. And even if there's some difficulty and some temporary problem, immediately he reaches out and gets picked up. But a proud person thinks, I am so learned, I am so strong, I am so great, I can do it myself. Krishna withdraws his mercy and that person must fall. It is just a matter of time. The greatest danger of being proud is you think you have the right to judge others. And then you begin to offend devotees. And when you offend devotees, Krishna takes everything away in due course of time. Just to teach us good lesson, because Krishna cannot tolerate the offenses to his devotees. So Ravana, due to this egoistic mentality, because he was so great, so powerful, and so popular, and so feared, when Maharishi told him the truth, Ravana became ferociously angry. He said, why are you in such delusion? Think this little mendicant Ravana can challenge me, Ravana? What kind of nonsense you are talking? Who do you think you are? What blasphemy! You are blaspheming me! To compare me to Ram, a hermit living in the forest, that is blasphemy. To say that he can defeat me? He said, either you do what I say, or I kill you and eat you. So Maricha, his mind was thinking, it will be better to be killed by Ram than Ravana. Certainly more predator. He knew he had to be killed. If he in any way opposed Ram, he would definitely be killed by him. But if he didn't, he would be killed by Ravana. So if I have to be killed, better to be killed by Lord Ramchandra. So Maricha disguised himself as a beautiful golden deer. And he was just playing around the forest. It was actually the Dandakaranya forest. The name of the place today is Nasik. The ancient Vedic name is Panchavati. Have any of you been there? We're having a yatra there, probably in February. Hare Krishna. Now, Radha Gopinath temple. We have one yatra there already. We'll be having another. It's a nice yatra because it's very close to Bombay. It's only 5 hours by train or 5 hours by bus. So we go at night and we sleep on the train and wake up and we're in Nasik. So many wonderful holy places there. You have heard of the river Godavari? The origin, the source of the river Godavari is in Nasik. There's a big mountain named Brahmagiri. And that is where the great Rishi Gautam Muni used to perform his tapasya. And that is where by his tapasya the Godavari River came down to the earth. It begins and flows all the way. 1,000 miles later, Lord Chaitanya met Ramananda Rai on the banks of the river Godavari. And also there's a very, very famous Jyotirlinga, one of the 12 most powerful deities of Shiva. It's called Trimbakeshwar, Mahadev. And also that is the place where Ram and Sita were living after they were banished from Ayodhya. They went to Chitrakoot, which is not far from Prayag, Allahabad. And then they went into the Dantakaranya forest and they lived in this place called Panchavati. And there's actually a temple exactly in the place where Ram kidnapped Sita. It's a special place because there's a deity of Sita all alone. Usually Sita's always with Ram. There's a deity of Sita. And then across the courtyard of the temple, there's a deity of Ravana dressed up as a rishi. And the reason why this place is called Nasik is Na means nose and Sik means to cut off, because this is also the place that Lakshman cut off the nose of Suparnakha. So when they were living in Nasik, Panchavati, there's also a confluence of two rivers, the Kapila and the Godavari, the Sangam. So many holy places. If any of you would like to come, please. So, Maricha, as a mystical deer, was dancing so charming that Sita was attracted. She said, "Oh, Ram, this is our last year of exile. This beautiful deer, I want to take him back to Ayodhya and keep him as a pet in my palace." Please catch this deer for me. And Lakshman said, "Actually, Ram, I think this is not a deer. This is actually a Rakshasa demon disguised." Sita said, No. Please get this deer for me. I'm so much attracted to the beautiful colors of this deer and how he is dancing so nicely. So Ram always wants to please Sita. So he went chasing after the deer. and the deer, in a very mystical way, was appearing and disappearing, appearing and disappearing, appearing and disappearing, and dancing so nicely, and he allured Ram deeper and deeper and deeper into the forest. And then, when they were way, way into the forest, far away, Ram understood that this isn't a deer, this is a rakshasa. Of course he already knew, but for the sake of pastime, he revealed to the world that he knew at this particular time. So then he took an arrow and shot it. And as he shot the arrow struck the body of Maricha. Maricha, according to Ravana's instruction, he called out, "Lakshman, save me! Lakshman, come help, save me!" Exactly to the sound of Ram's voice. Meanwhile, Lakshman was told by Ram to protect Sita in the dangerous forest. He was there, and Sita said, "Lakshman, go, go, Ram is in trouble." Lakshman said, "Ram is not in trouble, this is all nonsense. Nothing that can harm Ram. He is the Lord." And Sita said, "No, no," because of her natural affection and love for Ram and conjugal ras. She was not seeing him as the Supreme Lord. She was seeing him as her beloved husband. She said, "Lakshman, you must go. You must protect Ram. You must help him. He's in need." And Lakshman said, "I have been ordered by Ram to stay by you." And then Sita said that, "Oh, just see, now I know why you wanted to come to the forest with us. You were just waiting for the time when I would be alone with you and Ram was somewhere else in danger so that you could enjoy me." These words completely shattered the poor heart of Lakshman. He said, "No, Sita, how can you think like this?" She said, "Yes, you just want to see Ram dead so you can enjoy me. And if that is not so, then you go and help Ram, he's in need." So Lakshman, hearing the sharpened words of Sita, he said, "Yes, I will go, I will go." And Ravana is a terrible ten-headed rakshasa. By his tremendous mystic power, he disguised himself as a very gentle, learned sadhu, very renounced. And when Sita saw him, because Sita was always eager, always anxious to serve the sadhus, when Lord Ram and Sita were living in Chitrakoot, that was their daily pastime. They would just serve the great sages and rishis. The Lord is always happy to serve his devotees. And the goddess of fortune is always anxious to give whatever she has to her devotees. So Ravana came and asked Sita. He said, "I am very hungry. I have not eaten. Please give me some food." So Sita came. Some people say that Lakshman drew a circle around Sita that no one could penetrate. But somehow or other, Ravana tried to induce Sita to come out of that circle. That is how Maya works. As long as we are engaged in Krishna's service, Maya cannot touch us. But if we come out of the circle of that devotional service, then Maya can take us away. So Maya is always trying to induce us through so many temptations to somehow or other come out of the circle of the association with the devotees so she can steal us away. He knew the weakness of Sita was her compassion. Not a weakness, it's a strength. But he was thinking like, possible out of compassion, she came out. And Ravana stole her away. He revealed himself, I am Ravana. And he got on his chariot, which was led by asses. Black asses. And he started going through the sky. And as he was going, there was one very great devotee in the body of a bird. His name was Jatayu. And if you come on the yatra to Nasik with us, just outside of Nasik is the actual place where Jatayu fought with Ravana. You will see that place. Hare Krishna. So, Jatayu, he saw Sita crying out, help, help, save me. So even though he was very, very old, he was at one time a very great warrior, but now he was so old. But he was a friend of Dasarath Maharaj, the father of Ram. So he immediately said, whether I live or die, but I have to do my service to Ram. So he leaped up into the air and said, Ravana, you give Sita to me. I will not allow you to take her. And then Jatayu attacked Ravana, Hare Krishna. And Jatayu, he was such a good fighter. They were fighting and fighting and fighting, and Jatayu, he didn't even have any weapons. Ravana had his sword and so many astras. And Jatayu, he was just jumping on Ravana, hitting him with his wings. And with his beak, he started biting Ravana. And he knocked off his helmet. And he killed his asses. Hare Krishna. He broke up his chariot. And then he started, with his nails, with his bird nails, he started clawing at Ravana's body and making him bleed. But then Ravana was fighting very, very strong. Somehow or other, because Jatayu was very old, he became tired. And as he was tired, Ravana took the advantage and picked up his sword and cut off both of his wings. And Jatayu fell to the ground, helpless, bleeding. And Sita, seeing how Jatayu gave his life for her, she just blessed Jatayu. And then Ravana took Sita away. Meanwhile, Ram and Lakshman came back to the place of Sita, and she was gone. And they were searching everywhere. And Ram was delirious in separation from Sita. He was weeping and crying. He was going to the trees and the creepers. Where is Sita? Have you seen Sita? Vipuralamba Bhav, the ecstasy of love and separation, had struck the heart of Ram. And they were searching everywhere. And they saw some flowers, because Sita was dropping flowers. They were following those flowers, and then they came upon Jatayu, this big, massive bird laying on the ground. And Rama Lakshman thought, this is a Rakshasa. He must have eaten Sita. Let us kill him. This is how Lord Ram tests his devotees. Jatayu has just given his life. He didn't have a chance against Ravana. He knew he would die if he fought Ravana. He was too old to fight, but he would rather die trying to serve than go on living knowing he did not give his life to protect Sita. This is a Vaishnava. Even if we know we have to lose and die, we would rather die knowing we tried than go on living knowing that we didn't. And then after he gave his life and he was laying there suffering terribly, his worshipable Lord, for whom he did everything, Rama was accusing him as the one who ate Sita. Ram was calling him a terrible demon and saying, we should kill him. He has been the one who ate Sita. Sometimes the Lord does like this to us. Even if we give our life, all we get in return is chastisement. Even if we risk everything in our service of the Lord, all we get is misunderstanding. And we're accused instead of praised. This is the mercy of the Lord. And Jatayu was laying there, and he said, Ram, I am Jatayu, the friend of your father, Dasarath. Oh, you are Jatayu. Where is Sita? He explained the whole story, how he tried to protect Sita. And when Ram heard and understood how he was willing to give his life to serve his devotee in the form of his consort, Ram was so pleased. He began to cry. And he told Jatayu, on this very day, you will go back to my eternal abode, the spiritual world. And there we will be together eternally. And Jatayu left his body, chanting the holy name of Ram, with tears in his eyes. And Lord Ram, with tears in his eyes, began to lament the separation from such a devotee who was willing to give his life for his service. Lord Ramchandra then performed the funeral rites for Jatayu. This is a wonderful story because it shows how the Lord does not discriminate. Generally, according to the Vedic customs, one only performs the funeral rite to your own relative. One time, in South India, a Brahmin performed a funeral rite to a Sudra. He was being criticized like anything. He was actually one of Ramanujacharya's Shikshagurus. And Ramanujacharya asked him, why have you done this? Why have you done the funeral rites for a Sudra? You are a Brahmin. This is against the customs. You are being criticized. He said, this Sudra was a great devotee. And when one is a great devotee, he is beyond all castes. And he used as an example that Ram, he performed the funeral rites for someone who wasn't even a human being, for a bird, because he was a devotee. This is the glory of the devotees. So if Ram was willing to do, how can we? So Jatayu went back to Godhead, and Ram, in the direction that Jatayu explained, started searching. And as they came to Kishkindha Kshetra, they met Hanuman and Sugriva and made allies with them. And then Lord Ram, for the 4 months of the rainy season, he remained in a mountain in Kishkindha. Ever been to Kishkindha Kshetra? We once went on a yatra there. All our devotees from Bombay. It's a beautiful place. Such a nice place. It's Hanumanji's birthplace. There's a mountain called Anjana Paramatra where Hanuman was born. And there's the Pampa Sarovar where Ram first met Hanuman with Lakshmi. And where Shabari, the great lady sage, was performing her tapasya. And there's the place where Ram lived, Malyavanta, the cave where he lived for 4 months of the rainy season. And there's so many wonderful, wonderful places of Hanuman and Ram's pastimes there. It's so beautiful. It's one of the most extraordinary, beautiful places in the whole world. If you go there, your life will never be the same.
So after the rainy season,
Ram had Sugriva dispatch the Angada, Dambavan, Hanuman, and all the others to various directions searching for Sita. And ultimately, it was Sampati, the brother of Jatayu, by his tremendous vision, was able to see how Sita was in Sri Lanka. So Hanuman jumped over the ocean, even though there were so many obstacles. He somehow or other, by his great devotion to Rama, jumped over the ocean and arrived in Sri Lanka. And there he met Sita, gave her Rama's ring, and said, "Rama will soon come to get you." And Hanuman was captured by Indrajit, and they set his tail on fire, and he jumped to all the buildings of Lanka and burned the city on fire. Hare Krishna. And he came back to Rama and said, "I have found Sita." And it was in Kishkindha Kshetra, that place is still there, where Rama embraced Hanuman and said, "Thank you very much." So then they came to the ocean, and in order to cross over, Rama directed the monkey soldiers to build a bridge. It was 80 miles, 10 yojanas wide, this bridge. 80 miles wide, and they took these big, huge mountain peaks and rocks. They just put them in the water. But it is said they put the name of Rama on every rock, and that gave the power of those stones to float to the ocean. And they took vines and tied all these big, big mountain peaks and boulders and rocks together to make a beautiful bridge. And all the millions of monkey soldiers crossed over the bridge. And then there was the Great War of Sri Lanka, where such powerful, powerful soldiers as Kumbhakarna, Indrajit, and others met their death at the hands of Rama Lakshmana. And when the commander-in-chief was killed, he was also his brother, Nikumba, Kumba, Dumaraksha, Durmukha, Sharantaka, Narantaka, all these Rakshashas were being killed like anything. Ravana was so much being distressed. Actually, before the war, Ravana's own brother, Vibhishan, was actually a devotee. He told Ravana that you will be killed, you will be destroyed, just give Sita back to Ram. Otherwise, you will die. I'm saying this because I love you as my brother. But Ravana was so attached to Sita. He was so proud of his own borrowed plume, says Prabhupada said, that he actually almost killed Vibhishan, his brother, just for giving him good advice. But instead of killing him, he banished him from the kingdom. She went and surrendered to Ram. We went to Vanganayatra there too, 2 years ago. A place called Rameshwaram. It is where Setu Bandha, the place where the Bay of Bengal and the Indian Ocean meet. It's a very beautiful place. And that's the actual place, the point where they began to build a bridge to Sri Lanka. And there's a wonderful, wonderful temple where Vibhishan came and surrendered to Ram. It's a nice story. So Vibhishan surrendered, and Ravana would not listen to him. And then Ravana, his own wife, Mandodari, was saying, "Give back Sita. Look, I'm your wife. I will satisfy you. You don't need Sita. Ram will kill you." He just told his wife to be quiet. He was too proud to take any good advice, even from his well-wishers. So So eventually Ravana saw all of his armies and all of his generals were destroyed by the sharp arrows of Ram. So ultimately Ravana himself, he came out to fight. So many wonderful incidents took place in this battle. At one point, Ravana threw a javelin in the chest of Lakshmana, who lay there unconscious. And they said only a specific herb from the Himalayas could cure him. So Ram sent Hanuman to get that herb. So Hanuman, in his great enthusiasm, he jumped from the southernmost point of India, Rameshwaram. Almost, he went all the way to the Himalayas. Gandhamad and a mountain and other big mountains were there. And there he saw the mountain, but he couldn't find the herb. So he understood there's no time to be searching for herbs. So he just lifted up the entire mountain, uprooted it from the Himalayas, and put it in his hand, and jumped, and flew back to Rameshwaram. Hanumanji ki jai. And then when he arrived, one of the monkey soldiers, who was a doctor, he came and took the herb from the mountain. And when Lakshman smelled the herb, he immediately came back to consciousness. And then Ram told Hanuman to return the mountain. So he jumped back and returned the mountain to Himalayas and came back to fight. Lakshman killed Indrajit. Ravana sent Kumbhakarna. What kind of a story is this? He was so big. Should I tell the story? Is there time? Do you know the story of Kumbhakarna? Hare Krishna. He was such a rakshasa that he was so huge and powerful that he would just eat everything in sight. He had a big mouth and he would just devour everything. And nobody could tolerate it and no one could defeat him. So the sages and the demigods approached Lord Brahma and said he's going to devour the universe in a matter of time. So Brahma actually cursed Kumbhakarna to sleep continuously. Then he was given a benediction that he could be awake one day per year, that he could eat to his full satisfaction, that he would sleep 364 days of the year. So they built this huge, gigantic palace for him underground where he would sleep. And when Ravana saw that his armies were being destroyed, he told his servants, "Bring my brother Kumbhakarna, wake him up. How to wake up Kumbhakarna? Because when he would eat that one day, he would just drink buckets of blood and eat mountains of flesh. It would just be rotting in his stomach. And when he would snore, it was like a hurricane. And the hurricane smelled so miserable. Because, he was just breathing out all these rotten flesh and blood. Even the Rakshasas couldn't tolerate his bad breath." So they went to wake him up. So first thing they did is they brought mountains and mountains and mountains and big, big mountains of fresh flesh, human flesh, animal flesh, all varieties of flesh. And then they brought pails and buckets, tens of thousands of buckets of fresh blood. Feast. And they put it all near him, thinking that he'd be so attracted to these sweet smells that it would wake him up. But he was just sleeping. And his roaring was like thunder. And when you got near him, because he was so big, his nostrils were like caves. when you just went anywhere near the room, you would just be just like the high winds of this terrible smelling bad breath just pushing you away, and the Rakshasas couldn't even tolerate him. But somehow they had to wake him up. So the first thing they did is they took these huge kettle drums and conch shells and went right to his ear and started blowing and beating and blowing and beating and blowing and beating. Just kept sleeping. Snoring so loud it was piercing people's ears. So that didn't work. So then they took these big, big maces and started beating him with it. That didn't work. And they started putting sharp nails at the end of the maces. And there were thousands of people in all parts of his body just beating him with these maces, with nails in them. Meanwhile, they were beating kettle drums and blowing conch shells in his ears. He still didn't wake up. Then they took tens and thousands of elephants and chariots with horses and started driving up and down his chest. He was very big. They were driving up and down his chest and beating him and screaming and having conch shells and drums. Finally, as soon as he woke up, within a matter of minutes, he just ate all the mountains of flesh and drank all the buckets of blood. And then he stood up. He was told, "Your brother Ravana is calling for you." He started walking. And as he was walking, he was in the palace walls when the monkey soldiers saw him stand up and walking, towering over the whole city. They were struck with fear. Even Ram asked Bibhishan, "Who is that? What is that? Never have I seen such a monster." Bibhishan said, "That is my brother, Kumbhakarna. He told him the whole story of Kumbhakarna, how dangerous he is." So Ravana told Kumbhakarna that I must have Sita as my wife. And this rascal, Ram, he is causing so much disturbance. He has destroyed practically our whole army of Rakshasas. He's exterminating our civilization. I want you to go and kill him and his brother, Lakshman. And then Ravana started giving Kumbhakarna all sorts of precious jewels and necklaces and gifts. Kumbhakarna said, "By evening tonight, Sita will be yours. Ravana will be dead." So then Kumbhakarna came out into the warp field. And the monkeys were just like, "Shh, what are we going to do?" They were like little insects compared to him. They started jumping on him. And Kumbhakarna was just picking up handfuls within hand. He was picking up dozens at a time and just putting them in his mouth. And whatever monkeys were crawling on his body, he would just scoop them up with his hand and shove them in his mouth and eat them. And blood was flowing all over from his mouth. Hanuman, Sugriva, they actually jumped on him. And they bit his nose and jumped away. Hare Krishna. Then he became even more angry. He was just devouring everything in sight. Anybody in the battlefield that came before him, he would just put them in his mouth and eat them. Hare Krishna, what to do? So then Ram understood that he was the only one who could protect his devotees from such a monstrous Rakshasa demon as Kumbhakarna. So Ram approached Kumbhakarna. And as great Kshatriyas that they both started insulting each other. And then Kumbhakarna came to attack Ram with a mace in his hand. And Ram shot an arrow and cut off his arm. The mace fell. Then he came with his other arm and Ram cut off that arm. Then he started coming to Ram to trample him with his feet. Ram cut off both of his legs. Then he was laying there, and he opened his mouth to devour Ram with his mouth. And Ram filled his mouth with thousands and thousands and thousands of arrows. Then he was laying there completely helpless. And then Ram, with a special crescent moon-shaped arrow, he cut off Kumbhakarna's head and sent it flying to the gate of Lanka. Where Ravana very, very miserably received it. When the news came that Kumbhakarna's head is gone, dead. Ravana was terribly disgusted. He was besides himself with anxiety and grief. How is this possible? How is this possible? I'm losing. I've never lost before. And then Indrajit said, don't worry, I will kill him. I know how to do it. And Indrajit went out. That was a massive, terrible battle. And ultimately, Lakshman killed Indrajit, who was the prized, best, beloved son of Ravana, who was supposed to be the next king. And Ravana was so angry, he blamed Sita for everything. It's all because of this Sita that my son Indrajit, my brother Kumbhakarna, and all the others have died. Our whole Rakshasa race is being destroyed because of this woman. Therefore, right now, I will kill her and eat her. Mandodari and others said, Ram, she's just a woman. Why don't you just try to kill Ram? So he said, yes, I will kill Ram. Then finally he said, I will go to the battlefield. And he arranged a big, beautiful chariot for him. He gave him all his weapons and armor. And Ram himself, when they saw Ravana coming to the battlefield, Ravana was so powerful, he was just destroying the entire monkey army. And at one point, as we explained, Lakshman stood before Ravana, and Ravana threw the javelin, and Hanuman had to come with the mountain to save him. That happened twice, once with Indrajit and once with Ravana. And then Ram understood that this demon must be killed. Causing too much anxiety. Do you know what the name Ravana means? Who knows the Sanskrit definition for Ravana?
What makes all the world weep?
Yes, it means one who makes everyone cry in misery. So Indra sent his own chariot because Ram was living in the forest all these years, he was just fighting by foot. So that he sent his own chariot and chariot driver, Ram, to sit out to fight with Ram. And he went out there, and it was a wonderful, wonderful battle. Ravana had 10 heads. And every time Ram would shoot off one of the head would grow back. Because he had this benediction. Ravana symbolized lust. To the maximum extent, he wanted to enjoy Sita for himself. And this is the nature of lust, that no one but Krishna himself can destroy this demon of lust within our own hearts. No other way. And every time you try to cut off one of the heads of lust, at the least expected moment, another head grows. You have this experience, any of you? Every time you perform some tapasya or you overcome some desire, another one grows, another one grows. So then Vibhisha told Ram about the benediction. And the only way to kill him was to pierce his heart. So here, this particular verse that we are reading today, Ram is taking his most specialized arrow and shooting it right into the heart of Ravana. And Ravana begins to vomit blood from all his teeth. Ramchandra ki.
Jai.
And Srila Prabhupada explains here that when he died, it was just as he fell from his airplane, like a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. Krishna says in Gita, Abramavu guna loka punaravartamujana. The highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, they're all places of misery. Why are they places of misery? Because they're temporary. Even in Brahma Loka, where you can enjoy so many wonderful pleasures, when your good karma runs out, you fall back down to this world of misery. The heavenly planets. Prabodhananda Saraswati explained that a devotee cares no more for the heavenly planets than the will-o'-the-wisp. It is all just an illusion. It's all temporary. Why should we want to enjoy any of the pleasures of this material existence? We should keep our mind always fixed in the service of Krishna and not be distracted by anything else or anyone. So Ravana fell down, and he was dead. And all of the queens of Ravana, and whatever survivors of his family were there, they all cried out, "Alas, alas." And Mandodari and others, they began to beat their chests and weep and cry. They started chastising their husband. "Because you were so lusty to enjoy another man's wife, therefore you had to die. It was inevitable. Why couldn't you have been satisfied with what you had? And now we are alone and we are widows." And all the Rakshasas that remained were weeping and crying and devastated, and all the monkey soldiers were dancing and chanting, having wonderful kirtan, celebrating the victory of Ram. Ram Vijayo Sula. Actually, Srila Prabhupada gives a nice analogy in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. He explains how the armies of Ravana were very, very sophisticated military. They had the most modern, sophisticated weapons. They were very, very trained soldiers. Ravana really knew how to encourage and train his soldiers, and he was very affectionate to them. He was affectionate if they surrendered to him, and he was crueler than death if they didn't. So he had the complete loyalty and allegiance. They considered Ravana to be God. He was infallible. No one could disturb him. So he had such armies. All these terrible, terrible ashras. And the monkey army of Ram, what did they have? There was only two weapons in the entire military force of Ram. Lakshman and Ram both had bows and arrows. The monkeys had nothing. All they had was their claws and their teeth. And the Rakshasas had all these weapons and swords and bows and arrows and Brahmastras, and the monkeys just had their claws and teeth. And whatever they could pick up, they would throw. They would pick up stones, they would pick up trees. They had nothing. So by material standards, the army of Ravana was undefeatable, and the army of Ram was very, very unprepared. However, the monkey soldiers were fighting for Ram. And Ravana was fighting for his own selfish, egoistic greed. And Prabhupada says, however materially equipped we are, if we are against Ram, we will be destroyed. And even if we have nothing, if we are on the side of Ram, we will be victorious. Srila Prabhupada said, the Ravana mentality has conquered this world. said, I have come as the representative of Ram. And he looked at his disciples and he said, the only people he has given me to help is monkeys like you. But it is our duty to bring Sita back to Ram. The fortune of the world we must bring back to Ram. And Srila Prabhupada explained that even this modern civilization, Maya, they have so much technology and so many universities and so many governments and so many militaries. And what is the Hare Krishna movement? We have a few Mataji's cooking, distributing books and a few men. We have very little money. We have no weapons. It's just a few of us. And Srila Prabhupada said, if we just surrender to Ram and fight for Ram, conquer the world and bring it all back to the lotus feet of the Lord. So devotees should never be discouraged due to material disqualifications. Aranyas chintayanto mam yedina paribhashati tesha vidyaviyuktakam yogakshemam bahamyam. Krishna says in Gita, you just surrender to me. I will preserve whatever you have. And whatever is insufficient, whatever you require, I will give it. But you will be victorious. Kauteya pratichani hiname bhakta pranashuti. My devotee will never perish. Yatra yogeshwara krishna yatra partha dunyutara. Wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, there will be victory and great opulence. So we should never calculate by material considerations. We should only calculate, are we on the side of Ram? Are we doing the service of Guru and Krishna? If so, by Krishna's grace, we will be successful. And then Lord Sri Ramchandra coronated Vibhishan, his devotee, his king. And then Sita was brought back. Actually, she was a false Sita. Because the real Sita can never be touched by Ravana. Lord Chaitanya, when he was in South India, he met one Brahman, who was a great devotee of Ram. And he invited Lord Chaitanya for lunch prasad. And Lord Chaitanya waited for hours for lunch prasad. And finally, he asked the Brahman, where is prasad? And the Brahman was crying in the ecstasy of the mood. He said that, how could I cook, how could I eat when Sita has been stolen by Ravana? But ultimately, knowing he had a guest, he cooked for Lord Chaitanya. And then Lord Chaitanya continued his travels. And he actually went to Rameshwaram. And in Rameshwaram, in the temple, he found the Kurma Purana. And in the Kurma Purana, it describes the glories of the chastity of Sita. And it described in that Purana how, when Ram knew that Ravana would come, what he did is he put Sita in the care of Agnidev. Agnidev understood that this was going to happen, so he took Sita and placed her under the care of Parvati and created a false Sita, an illusory Sita, who looked just like Sita. And that was the Sita that Ravana stole. She wasn't exactly a false Sita, she wasn't the real Sita, she was an expansion of the real Sita. And when Hanuman brought back that Sita, then Ram wanted to test her chastity. He said, this Sita, she has been living with another man for 1 year. How can I accept her back? So after the whole battle was there, Sita was brokenhearted. And she said, Lakshman, bring wood and start a fire, and I will enter into the fire. Just to prove my perfect chastity. Lakshman was very disappointed. Sita is my worshipable object. She is the consort of my lord. To make a fire for her to enter into, very difficult. Ram, I cannot do this. Ram said, you do it. Lakshman got wood and started a fire, and Sita entered into the fire. And when she entered into the fire god Agnidev came out. And he brought the real Sita. And he said to Ram that in her mind, body, and words, she has never thought of anything but her loving service to you. She is perfectly chaste. If she would have for even one moment considered anything but the thought of Ram during that year, she would have burned in the fire. But because she was perfectly fixed in the chastity of her devotion to Ram, the fire only made her body beautiful. And then there's a